Hey, Rebels. My name is Matthew Barton. Welcome to the Rebellion Brewing Podcast. Beer and food are two of the biggest stars on this show. Telling you all about the latest food and drink is part of the reason I hope you tune in every week. Another big part of the show is celebrating local chefs like Jody Robson, Rob Reinhardt, and Milton Ribello. Today, I'm sitting down with local Regina foodie and friend Gilbert Proulx, who recently finished his turn on Wall of Chefs, broadcasting now on Food Network Canada. So let's get into it. Gilbert, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Matt.
How's it going?
Oh, I'm doing really well. It's like post-show fame, if you will.
Have you been getting lots of people contacting you and saying, hey, I saw you on TV?
I have. And like, it's crazy because it's people that maybe I haven't even talked to in a long time, but it's weird. People connect. You know, they see someone they know on TV and there's this instant connection. And it's like, it doesn't matter if I haven't seen them in years or haven't talked to them in years. I literally had family members that I haven't talked to in like 8 years email me out of the blue and say, oh my gosh, Gilbert, I saw you on the Food Network and it was awesome.
For my guests who don't know you personally, like I do, who are you? And when you aren't on television, what do you do?
Well, my name is Gilbert Proulx, and I am, I guess, what you would call a home cook. I love to cook, and it's one of my biggest passions in life, and definitely a big hobby of mine. Outside of cooking for my family and friends, I'm a teacher. I teach at École Centennial, and I'm a jack of all trades. Music is kind of my main background and focus, which means I'm also in a cover band in the city.
What's the name of the band?
Our band name is Breaking Curfew.
Nice. I seem to remember something. Rum Runners, was it? Was that a previous band?
Rum Runners was a previous band. And so now I'm in a band with some old members of Rum Runners. And I don't know if you remember Slow Motion Walter, but they were kind of cover band royalty in the city for a while. And some of their members and I joined together. And now we just have a lot of fun.
A real renaissance dude.
Definitely.
I remember seeing you posting a lot about sushi for quite a long time. It sounded like you were really pouring a lot of your heart and soul into perfecting sushi, and I was always very jealous.
Yeah, so I lived in Japan for a year, and I sort of have this love affair with Japan for many reasons. It's my experiences with that country kind of helped shape who I've become as a person, including my love of cooking and sort of my passion for food. And you know, I'm sure it's no surprise that you travel to Japan, you will get the absolute most phenomenal sushi you've ever had in your life. And on some level, I've always been chasing this dream to try and recreate some of those culinary experiences that I had in Japan. And you know, I'm very drawn to the art of sushi and the understanding that it takes years to master, and how they'll have a sushi chef who won't even get to touch fish or any of the other ingredients until he's mastered how to make rice, which can take years. And I just think that is, you know, in a nutshell, what Japanese culture is all about, you know, perfecting your craft, doing something really, really well. And so that's one of the largest lessons for myself with cooking that I've taken to heart, is that you're never done, you know, and you can always do something better. So I'm always critiquing myself, and I'm always critiquing my own flavors and my own approach to cooking. And I'm always looking at how can I do this better?
If the path just keeps going, what were your first steps? How did you get into cooking food?
My family grew up with this notion that you sit down and eat as a family. And that is one memory I have growing up that will stay with me for the rest of my life, and something that I've carried into my own life now that I'm a father of two boys and married is that we sit down as a family and eat. And it doesn't matter if not everyone's there. We all sit down. We take the time to pause and eat. And so food is essentially love in my mind. You know, you are creating something for the people in your family, for the people you care about, and you're sitting down and you're breaking bread with them and you're talking about things that are going on in your life. And, you know, it's more than just what's on the plate. It's the experience of who you're with, you know, and what you guys are talking about and the circumstances of the gathering too, right? So I grew up, we cooked every night. Dad and mom always had me do what I like to call the bitch work. And my dad had me deveining shrimp and ripping lettuce into a salad bowl. And, you know, and eventually I moved my way up and they started showing me how to cook rice-a-roni. That was my job. I was cooking rice-a-roni. That continued when I moved to Japan. And that's when I really, really fell in love with cooking. And it was living on my own partially. But it was living on my own. And again, that connection to people, being in a city with not very many English speaking people, we'd get together and that's what we'd do. We'd cook, we'd eat, we'd break bread together. And that is just, for me, one of the most important things about cooking.
So you have this long love affair with food. You go to Japan, you find this, what I maybe could call a mild obsession. How the heck do you end up on a TV show?
Well, you know, I've cooked for years, but I'd say in the last 5 years, some of my life events caused me to take up cooking a little more passionately and really look at it more as an art form. And I don't know exactly when this happened, but it started with following recipes, you know, and I love following recipes and cooking something. And then eventually you get to a point where you cook a recipe and all of a sudden I start thinking maybe I can do this a little bit better. So I'll take a recipe and then I'll tweak it and make it my own recipe. And then all of a sudden I'm not using recipes anymore. I get an idea in my head and I start playing around with flavors. And I realize that a lot of the things I'm cooking are really good. and that's not from me. That's my wife, you know, and my family and the people who come over to eat. They look, they eat and they say, this is really good. And so I stop and I think, wow, I guess I'm kind of okay at this.
Do you approach food as kind of a science, or is it more of a smell, touch, feel, intuition kind of thing?
That's a really good question, and one I bring up because I see sort of cooking as two avenues. There's baking and there's cooking, and I see baking as a science, and I love to bake, and I'm getting good at baking too, but I'm still terrified to add like a teaspoon more of flour than what the recipe calls for because I don't know what that's going to do to my recipe. Whereas cooking, to me, that's an art. Sometimes I start pouring flavors into a bowl and I don't know what I'm going to come up with. And the cool thing for me is you can taste it. And as you're going along and tasting it, you can adjust, right? If you know what it needs, you can adjust the seasoning. And a lot of that goes back to the love affair with Japan and how I learned how to cook is that balance of flavor, which is something that's so important in Japanese cuisine. They balance the acidity, they balance the salty, they balance the sweet, and of course they balance the umami, right? And so we have all those components. And so I always consider that whenever I'm creating something from nothing.
I love everything you just said because it reminds me of talking to a seasoned brewer when we're lining up beers and we're being really critical and trying to think of the words that specifically describe what's on our palate. And some of them, they can get into this mind space where they're like, it will just needs a bit more of this, or maybe we can pull back on that. Let's throw more hops in next time. And they're no longer talking about pounds and ounces and the inputs. I mean, it can be a very, it's a rigorous chemistry kind of a alchemy there, but the art of brewing comes down to that intuitive learned knowledge, the flavors of the foods in their brains or the flavors of the grains. It becomes something extra, that lived experience they extract. It sounds like you have managed to create that again. Is that an accurate kind of statement or question?
Yeah, 100%. Do you think that's why there's a market for microbrewing? Because it's such a passionate art as opposed to like mass producing beer?
Yes. I mean, I'm biased. I think that when you're working at that mass industrial scale, that's like pushing the Titanic through the ocean. You can't pivot or change. You're just kind of coasting. And the neat thing about brewers at a small scale is they can pivot very, very quickly, test and iterate, and are very nimble. They don't have that big mass. They're not pushing that much cargo through the ocean, but they can really discover very quickly. And it sounds like you kind of have those same elements in your techniques. I've seen your pictures. I see you uploading your food online. I'm just like, frick, I need to get invited over there and eat my face off.
Well, you know what? Definitely now that COVID's settling a little bit, so I'll have to have you over when it warms up a little bit, and I'll actually make something for you. I'd love that. But yeah, definitely. That's every time I cook, I try to create an experience, you know. And even tonight, my wife, I was home a little late, so when she cooks, it's like frozen into the oven, and that's fine. And I don't, you know, and I don't judge. I'll eat whatever's put in front of me. I'm not picky, and I don't pick it apart and say, but I took the fries out of the oven and I tossed some truffle oil on them and some Parmesan cheese. And I made some Parmesan truffle fries out of those frozen store-bought fries. And then she's like, can you like whip up a mayo for that? I'm like, absolutely. So I took a mayo and some lemon juice, garlic, some paprika, a little bit of salt. And it just like, it turned a weeknight dinner into an experience, right?
Well, speaking of special culinary experiences, here you are on the show. What was that like? Was it a big culture shock or something that just kind of just flowed?
It was a culture shock for sure. I say I don't know what I was expecting, but it wasn't that. Part of it was my own misstep on the show, and part of it was just that overwhelming awe of being part of such an experience. You know, I've been on TV before, like on the news getting interviewed, and I speak. It's what I do for a living as a teacher. So it's not foreign to me, but you throw cameras a foot away from you and you have producers surrounding you. And then more importantly, you have this wall of Canada's best chefs, and you can hear them while you're cooking. You can hear what they're talking about. You can hear them, like, you put something in, they go, ooh, I don't know if that's going to work. And I go, what? It's not going to work? So, I mean, the experience was a thrill, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. But I think for myself, the pressure of a competition sort of removed that element of love that I appreciate about food so much. And I think maybe that's what threw me for a loop. You know, if I could have sat down and like cooked for a few chefs at a table, I would have really, really loved that. And it's not that I didn't love cooking for them. I did. But when you got a timer behind you and cameras rolling and your dish depends on your ability to meet a time crunch, it's a different experience.
Did they coach you when you're staring into the void of the lens? It's a hard for some people to really adapt to it. It throws, they forget how to speak. They forget how to stand. They're suddenly hyper aware of themselves. They don't know what to do with their hands.
Matt, I am unapologetically me. So everything you saw on the show was me. And that's another thing that, like, yeah, the experience didn't go the way I had envisioned it or prepared for, But I was grateful that they didn't have me act a certain way or tell me to like tone it down. And, you know, I am who I am, and that's it.
I've often asked other contestants on shows, did they coach you or edit you very harsh, or did they write you a certain way, or did you just get to be represented as you thought you should have been?
For the most part, I thought I was well represented, but there was a little bit of editing that, you know, I don't know if I would have gone 100% that route, especially with the critiquing of my food. For those of you who haven't seen the episode, I burnt my chicken. I made chicken karaage, which is a Japanese fried chicken dish, and it's my signature dish. It's a recipe I've adapted and created over the years, and anyone who eats it loves it. And so I made a misstep. I had the fryers there on the show. I didn't anticipate that they cook hotter than my little fryer at home. And that was 100% on me. I had everything timed based on how I do it at home, but 7 minutes on my little fryer is about 3 minutes too long on those industrial fryers. So by the time I got to my chicken, it was already too late. And you know, the ironic part about that is that I take a pride in never overcooking my proteins. So it is what it is. But anyways, so the judging came around, and the contestants each get about 10 minutes of judging. So, you know, they show about 30 seconds, and you don't even get a portion of what the judges are actually saying. And so they really focused heavily on the overcooked chicken, which it was, but they made it sound like that was all there was to the dish, when in fact, they had a lot of really, really good feedback. Lots of good critique that I took to heart, and a lot of really positive things to say about the dish. Like, the dish itself is good. I pride myself on flavors, and I'm really good about connecting a lot of flavors together. And they appreciated that about the meal and the dish. But unfortunately, due to time, due to television, due to editing, my chicken was burnt.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Do you have a special memory or something you're like, I'm never going to forget this moment from being there?
There were a few, and a lot of them were edited out. And I think it's the edited banter that didn't make it between me and like Noah Kapp, who is a tremendous person. He's amazing. We had a lot of back and forth throughout my cook, and even to the judges, I was kind of like giving it to them a little bit, and they were giving it back. And that stuff you won't see, and that's in my memory forever. And that's kind of a part of the experience that is going to be mine. You know, that's my experience. And that was the great thing about being on the show, is that I got to share it with everyone, right? But they got to see a part of it, and I got to live it and experience it. So it's uniquely my experience, but I do get to share it with everyone.
You know, there's a Rudyard Kipling poem, I believe, about the man who steps into the ring, and it's easy to kind of chirp from the sidelines, but to really be in the arena and take a punch and have a bloody nose. But man, you went in there and you faced it. It sounds like it was a really, really special kind of experience for you.
Definitely. It certainly was. I don't know how many people in Regina or even in Canada get to have this kind of experience. And that's what I have to remind myself. I actually had a student last week who very sweetly and earnestly said to me, congratulations on getting fourth. Well, there were only four contestants, so one of us had to go out first. But when you put it that way, it was a reminder that I did get to do something that I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who dream of being on TV to cook. And I got to experience it firsthand. So even if I never get another experience on TV, I've had one, you know, and I'm on Amazon Prime now, you know, I'm on the Food Network now. And that's pretty cool. When I grew up watching The Iron Chef on Food Network and all these awesome cooking shows, now I'm part of that legacy of cooking, right?
Well, I know I've sat down for a meal that you and Joe helped prepare, our buddy Joe, and it was great. Like, I can personally attest, I've eaten your food. It's good stuff. I'm happy to eat it again, and I'm just glad that you took some of your time out of your day to sit down and talk about your experience in the show. Thanks.
Oh, I appreciate you so much for having me, Matt. It was really good to see you and catch up a little bit, and it's awesome to talk about it with people because, you know, like I said, it didn't go out the way I wanted it to, but I still walked out of there with my head held high, and it's just one thing to add to my culinary tool belt.
That's awesome, man. Where can people find your episode, or where can they learn more about you?
So my episode is on Amazon Prime. If you get the Stack TV add-on, you can get all Food Network shows, Food Network Canada. I know it airs on repeat too on the Food Network, so you can check there. I think they might even have the episode on the website. But if you want to see what my cooking is all about, I highly suggest you go to my Instagram page, Gib Factor. Gib Factor is my Instagram handle, and I post pretty much all of my unique recipes on there.
The pictures are gorgeous. Just looking at it today was making my mouth water.
Awesome. Appreciate it.
Have a great day, man.
Yeah, you too, Matt. Take care.
Rebels, thanks for listening today. If you have any questions or comments about this episode, be sure to join us on our brand new Facebook group page, The Rebellion Brewing Podcast. I'm going to include links so you can find Gilbert's episode on Food Network Canada or on Prime. I'm also proud to let you know that we're members of the Saskatchewan Podcast Network. It's a one-stop shop for tons of locally produced shows from across our province. And you can find them at saspodcastnetwork.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Untappd so you don't miss out on the latest in Sass craft beer news. Thank you for joining the Rebellion.